Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey there, it's JVL. On The Secret Show with Sarah Longwell today, we talked about Hunter Biden and Ron DeSantis. Here's the show.
So David Lionheart has a piece in his newsletter today about like whether or not we should take the Hunter Biden.
By the way, seriously, he should have been a professional wrestler with that name.
Now entering the ring from parts unknown,
David Lionheart.
It might be Lionheart. I'm not sure.
Well, if he was a wrestler, he would pronounce it Lionheart, regardless of what it is really.
DeSantis or DeSantis. So he's got in his newsletter, and I think he writes quite a good newsletter. He's like one of my essential morning reading.
Yeah, I bet you read him every day.
You know, you should do your newsletter. The problem with your newsletter is it comes out right in the middle of the day. And I have a job.
Yes.
I just can't sit around and read content. I read your newsletters. I just often get to them later. Anyway, so he writes a piece about whether or not the Hunter Biden thing is a scandal. And this was maybe – I have you know, I've said this before that like the Hunter Biden thing does kind of wash over me, but his point here in the piece is he basically says the Hunter Biden thing is real in the sense that Hunter Biden was absolutely influence peddling. He was absolutely using the Biden's name. While his dad was vice president, he was sitting on these boards where he was collecting a ton of money. Basically because he was a Biden. But then he goes on to sort of explain, but that's not what the right is accusing. Like, that's not the story that they're telling, right? The story that they're telling
is one Biden crime family.
Right. and one of the points he makes is that, like, it's one of the reasons, like, I think it's hard is, like, the Trump family, we just got through the Trump family where Jared Kushner walked away with a $2 billion investment from the Saudis. And so the idea, and this is it, right? The idea that we have to listen to the exclamations of the people who totally were like, yeah, all like Trump is having people stay in his hotels and making people stay in his hotels, like makes the Secret Service pay money at his hotels, you know, makes all these foreign people, tries to hold the G8 at like the Doral. And then what's his name? Jared Kushner walks away with a $2 billion investment from the Saudis. And like, he's got his kids installed in the White House. And now I think it's very difficult to have those same people be like Biden crime family, Hunter Biden. And so there's just like these people have no moral credibility. Why would I listen to them? And so I think there's been part of me that's just been like, okay. And yet, objectively, I think Hunter Biden is not a good guy. I think Hunter Biden is like not on the up and up. He's clearly incredibly troubled, right? Like the gun charge is about him lying about his sobriety in order to obtain a firearm. Like that's the weapons charge against him.
Yes.
And he clearly was influence peddling. So it's not nothing. It's just not the story Republicans are telling, nor are they credible messengers to tell it. But that said, like, I think Biden, you know, this idea that, like, Hunter showing up to state dinners, like, I guess I've been contemplating what one does as a parent and as a president. And then I also read there was a piece in the Bork that Jill Lawrence. Lawrence wrote. Mm-hmm. That basically was like, hey, Biden, like, stop inviting Hunter to state dinners. Like, don't have him flying around on Air Force One. Like, this is a problem and you've got bigger things to, like, you have a bigger obligation here. And I think she got yelled at for that piece. Like, I think she took a lot of incoming for making that suggestion. But I think I basically agree with that. What do you think?
I mean, just for the people on Reddit, that's Sarah saying that she agrees with that piece, not me. So light her up. My thoughts on this are slightly complicated in that clearly Hunter has been influence peddling, but not even, influence scamming, because he didn't have any influence. So right. This is the right, you know, when influence peddling is when you take money and then you exert influence. He went around pretending he had influence to get money and then people would pay him. I guess my guess is these people are smart enough to know that they're just taking a flyer on it. And, yeah, you know, maybe he can, maybe he can't. They don't care. It's worth, like, if you're the Chinese energy company who was paying Hunter, which, by the way, again, the amazingness of the Trump was taking money from the same Chinese energy company that
same
Hunter
Chinese
was.
Company.
This is, and yet right. The Hunter one, where there does not seem to be any actual influence exerted, that's the one that's the problem for Republicans. It's amazing. But between this and the trying to deny paternity of his child, and I mean, at some point, I think there is a, you get beyond, like, hey, it's just a troubled person, to, like, I know, maybe bad person, maybe train wreck of a person, maybe I don't know what it is, but, like, we're past the point where we can, just as a moral matter, I'm not even talking about the political stuff, say, like, oh, it's just a troubled guy. I mean, the guy's, like, what, 55 years old or something, you know, like, you're a grown ass man. He's responsible for his actions. And I am comfortable saying, like, not a good guy.
Yeah, that's I mean, I am. I think addiction, like, is just horrible and tragic. And I don't care if he's 55. Like, I can have a lot of compassion on the idea that, like, Hunter Biden is sick. And the question for me is, maybe it is a political one. Because
well,
that's,
let's talk about the political one.
The political one, yeah. is that's the it's what Joe Biden has control over.
Right.
Right.
So I don't think that
I don't think Joe Biden should not love his son or not try to help his son or not have his son. I think he has to do every, you know, I'm not judging him. I mean, any good parent is going to love their kid through addiction. Oh, don't make that face.
No, yeah. No, I was making the agree face.
That
see,
wasn't the agree
listeners,
face.
Listeners, you
that
can't see me, face. So you just take my word for it that I was nodding along with Sarah and agreeing.
It's not the agree
Any
face.
Parent should love their kid no matter what.
Yeah, the question is like how to handle Hunter Biden, which has become, if not a direct liability, because I actually think swing voters don't care that much, is like a muddying of the waters that there is, especially for low info voters, a tendency to be like, well, they're both corrupt, so I'll take the one that's more fun or the one that I think is better for the economy.
So I think I'm, again, it seems to me we have not seen any evidence that Joe Biden himself has acted improperly at all in all of this. And as a matter of, like, optics, I kind of think that Biden should just live his life, Joe Biden, the way he wants. And if he wants to have his troubled kid to, it's not like not having his troubled kid to state dinners will, as a guest, will clear all of this up in the minds of low information voters, right? They're going to hear on the Ghost of Rush Limbaugh's show or whatever that is. They're going to hear whatever they're going to hear, and the Republicans are going to say whatever they're going to say anyway. And part of the thing that people appreciate about Joe Biden is that for a politician, he is a reasonably normal human being. and reasonably normal human beings are loyal to their family and have personal foibles and don't always care most about the politics. And one of the things that is charming about Biden is that he wouldn't abandon his kid, which I certainly wouldn't myself.
Again,
either.
Difference between abandoning and like, no, hey, don't come to state dinners and like fly around on Air Force One on the taxpayer's dime now that you have like influence peddled.
Yeah. No, I get that. I think it's a close call.
I guess I also think it's a bit of a close call, although there's also then the Hunter element of it. Like if I was, my dad was president and I was the main like scandal lighting him up, I might on my own show the judgment and the decency to not be like, I'm going to be the center of attention here.
I don't know. I mean, it's impossible to know parent-kid relationships and like what internal family dynamics are like. You also have no idea how self-aware this guy is. And I mean, the more interesting question is, will any of this stick? I think the best piece we've run on Hunter was by Mona, which was sort of doing the psychoanalysis to why Hunter is so important for Republicans.
Yeah.
And it's because Hunter is their get out of jail free card for everything that Trump has done.
Yeah.
And without Hunter, they would have to go and find something else. Like, you know, it's not like, well, if they didn't have Hunter, they would say, geez, Donald Trump is really bad and corrupt. They would find something else. But they have to have something. And Hunter is that handhold that they're going to cling to till they're fucking dead. And
I agree with that. I just think it's important for us not like, you can say that what the Trump guys did is worse. You can say that it's in a totally different planet and still say that Hunter Biden's influence scamming is objectively wrong and like skeevy. And like, we're like in the middle right now of also thinking about like the Supreme Court, you know, and all these trips that people take them on. And like, I just think there is a...
That Clarence Thomas reporting.
Yeah.
Man, it keeps coming and coming. The 34 trips. The best, though, is his RV, his $250,000 RV, which he was like, you know, I scripted saved. And it turns out one of his billionaire friends underwrote it.
Really? I didn't see that. They bought it for him?
They underwrote the loan to get it. So, you know, scripted saved also had an assist from one of my Richie Rich friends. Amazing. You can't make it up. You can't make it up. Who spends $250,000 on an RV? That is crazy. That's crazy town. You can spend $250,000 on a watch or a comic book. Those would be reasonable things.
A watch or a
things.
Comic book, yeah.
Maybe even a baseball card. But on an RV, which is only going to depreciate in value? Ugh.
Anyway, the point is I think we're at a moment of discussions around how people use their influence and like receive remuneration for that influence in ways that are
bad.
Untoward around influence. And I want to make clear that I think it is objectively not good. And had we not just come out of the Trump years, I think it would be
also very not good.
Yeah,
exactly. And this, you know, I don't even know that we've seen anything to suggest that what Hunter did in terms of his influence scamming was illegal. It's bad even if it wasn't illegal. Like, that's another important,
that's
important
the thing.
Distinction to make. Like, well, it's not just like, well, he was on the right side of the law. It's bad anyway. It's not good.
That's the Leonhardt's poise. Like that'll get you off in court. But like with public opinion, it's still like sort of gross. Yeah, it's not illegal. But if you are suggesting to the Chinese that, you know, you can, your dad is the vice president and I've got these, you know, high level connections.
But at least we got a president for whom there is zero indication that he himself has done any of this. This is, you know, like Joe seems to be, I don't think there are any insinuations that are credible anywhere that Joe has done any of this.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to take the other side of myself for 1 second, though. I will say my guess is that if you checked a whole bunch of influential people, like went through members of the Senate, whatever, and then went and checked their kids, I bet there's a lot of kids on a lot of boards.
Oh my God, yes.
I bet like there's a lot of people with the with last names that get them places where, you know, sure, they're talented and smart, but like they're there because they've
by
got
their
a
own
last
bootstraps.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah, no, this happens everywhere. And it's happens everywhere in every walk of life. Right. You know, you're at a school district and your mom is the superintendent of schools and you become a teacher. Oh, you know, I'm going to get hired real quick. Right. This is how the world works around us. But it's bad. There. OK. Hunter Biden. Bad.
Nepo baby.
We settled it. I'm glad. That feels good. OK. I wrote about Ron DeSantis on Wednesday. Before I took a day off, had a little vacation yesterday, a little spa day for myself. It was great. And I suggested that we only have 2 weeks left with Ron DeSantis as a viable presidential nominee. And 2 weeks from now, we can basically stop pretending that that he's in. And honestly, he might even start thinking about getting out.
This is a big swing. I think this is not correct. And
really?
Oh, way off.
Did you read the piece?
I did.
Full majesty of my the force of argument.
I read the whole piece.
Okay.
Hard disagree.
Tell me
even,
more.
Even though I agree in general on the death spiral that he's in. And after your piece was published, just to argue for you for a second, we saw the first poll, national poll from Signal. Not the encrypted app, but I was like, who's Signal? Is this full legit? But it's probably okay. But Vivek has overtaken DeSantis with 11% to 10. And
That's rough.
Yeah, I don't know that I think DeSantis is quite there.
Wait until
for
after
real.
The first debate.
But I think this stuff's coming. Here's where
wait till you see Vivek's numbers after the first mm-hmm. debate. Because let me tell you, it ain't going to be DeSantis that gets a pop.
I guess we'll see. But I just think 2 weeks, DeSantis has a lot of money. This is my big quibble. He's just sitting on piles of cash.
I mean, the super PAC is.
Yeah.
He's not. Right? And that money's going to dry up.
Yeah, the super PAC's got a lot. That's true. But like, he transferred a bunch of the early money to the super PAC. Like, that's his money. And so as long as the super PAC's got a ton of cash,
can he get that back? So I legit have no understanding of this, because to keep his own campaign going, like to pay his whatever the 60 remaining staffers that he has and for his 5-car entourage wherever he goes, like he's got to be paying bills on that. And if the donor money, the big donor money starts drying up and he's already maxed out a bunch of donors, right? Like they can keep funneling money to the super PAC, but how much money can he bring into the actual Ron DeSantis 2024 organization?
Yeah. Well, this is where, like I said, the point that I agree with is that like he's got to have a good debate.
Yeah.
He's got to have a good debate.
Now, you have seen him speak, right?
I've seen him speak. I have.
So what do you think the chances are that he's going to have a good debate?
I love that you included the Charlie Crist debate clip, because somewhere I'm going to go find it at some point. And I was on a podcast like for, I can't remember, one of the UK papers. And it was like their deep dive on American politics. And they were like, make one prediction. And my prediction was Ron DeSantis would not be the nominee. And it was based on that clip. It was like, look, I don't know where this whole thing's going. And like the voters are
to
with
be clear,
him right
you
now.
You didn't do this last week. You did
no,
this
was months
a long
and months
time.
Ago.
Right, okay. I'm and this sorry. Was actually, I want you to get full credit for
this. This is when DeSantis was like super popping in the focus yeah. groups. But I was like, I watched that debate and I was like, oh, he's bad at this.
Mm-hmm.
He's not good. I just think your 2 weeks is I like there's no way he doesn't go through Iowa. This is like there's no like he's gonna be in the race through Iowa, and he will live or die there.
I would agree with that, except that he may be scrapping for third or fourth place in Iowa. And to not come in second in Iowa is catastrophic for his future viability as a person in Republican politics.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is – if he can get to Iowa and finish second – and then withdraw and hold off on endorsing Trump if possible, and do his, I just think we're going to lose if we do this. And then he can say, I told you so, if Trump loses, that's fine. But if he were to not, it's possible he won't finish second in Iowa. Like, he could finish behind Trump. He could finish behind Scott. He could finish behind Vivek.
He could.
That would be, I mean, if that happens, his political career is over.
Yeah.
Nationally.
And that's, I guess, like,
there's a lot of tail risk, I guess, to that strategy.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if you get out now, you know what the risks are. But you could also say, hey, I was number two. I was number two in the polls. And I just, you know, we saw a path. I definitely saw a path forward, but I didn't want to be part of this divisiveness, and it's so...
So you think if he has a bad debate, he just drops out?
I think it's possible. Mm. Because he has three options then, right? He's got to figure out, do I want to keep going and risk falling farther, right? And there's a confidence question here. Like, how confident is he and how realistic is he about his ability to finish second in Iowa? And maybe he's one of these guys who, like, just assumes that every time he rolls up to the craps table, he's going to make his number. And, like, you know, huh, I never crap out. I'm a hot roller. Give me the rocks. But maybe he is, like, a bloodless, realistic calculator and will understand, like, what he's really up against. And a lot of it will depend on what the debate is like, right? I mean, Christie has said explicitly that he's going to try to go straight at Ron in this debate. He's like, got to get past him. Once we're past him in New Hampshire, right now we're tied with him in New Hampshire. Once I get past him, I'm going to go and I'm just going to eat him. I'm going to eat him for dinner, literally. Then we can go after Trump in New Hampshire. Vivek has got to make his move because he wants to get past DeSantis in Iowa. Tim Scott will try to stay above it all and be Mr. Nice Guy. I don't know. Like, yikes. What happens if he gets pantsed by Gavin Newsom?
What is this debate he's going to have with Gavin Newsom? God. Why is he doing this? Also, by the way, so this is...
Desperation.
But this is an idiotic... why would you, when you're running for president of the United States, just debate some other governor?
I mean, because they feel panic, right?
Yeah.
Like, everything is going wrong. We have to try to do something to change the dynamic. Like, we just, you know, we have to shake up the Etch-a-Sketch and see if something will change it. So maybe we get a moment in our debate with Gavin Newsom. Although I have to say, and I do not like Gavin Newsom. And Gavin Newsom's a pretty slick debater.
I also would like to register that I really don't like Gavin Newsom.
Sure.
But
I would like Gavin Newsom to stop running for president already.
Yeah, I know.
Please stop, Mr. Governor.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom can both fake run for president yes, right now. That's what this debate seems like.
Fake run for president. If he gets crushed on Fox by Gavin, yikes.
I can sort of see their logic, right? What they're thinking to themselves is the Republican debate is actually kind of nobody wants to see Ron DeSantis beat up on other Republicans. Like, he is at his best. He is at his most popular when he is crapping on Democrats and, like, being surly and getting in their face. And they need that moment, because when he does that to Tim Scott, Republican voters aren't necessarily going to, like, stand up and cheer.
Yeah. I mean, he's at his best when he's having another human being's voice coming out of his mouth. I kind of feel like what he should really ask for in the debates is to have a surrogate who stands next to him, who, like, Ron whispers into his ear and the guy just repeats the words in a better voice. So he doesn't sound like this.
He does sound so whiny.
I'm sorry. I realize it's a superficial thing to say, and I say it all the time, but I really think it's important. People think to themselves, do I like hearing from this person?
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody likes hearing from Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You think he's in no matter what?
Well,
here's the question of this. If you were running, let's pretend you were his consigliere. So let's take away the, like, what will he do? Let's go to what should he do. You were his consigliere, and your chief interest is in, you love Ron DeSantis. So let's pretend he's your brother. He's your ne'er-do-well brother. And you love him no matter what, even if he has issues and et cetera, et cetera. And you are trying to counsel him in such a way as to maximize his viability going forward. Because you know that he's just a political guy. He just wants to keep running for stuff his whole life. What would you counsel him to do?
I would change his entire messaging strategy, right? Okay. I would stop focusing on trans stuff constantly. I would stop fighting with Disney. And I would – this is part of you were telling me about Ala Pundit. This is the advice I give when other reporters ask me this stuff, which is like quit the culture war stuff, or like at least having that be the tip of the spear, like the only thing you talk about. Focus on competence and record. Start gold watching Trump. This has always been like Trump was a great president, but this guy cannot take us into the future. Talk directly to the voters. Like, and he doesn't do this right now. He like elides Trump in this way that makes him look weak and beta. But he should be like, Trump was a great president, but he is 76 years old. He is not going to win a general election. I can beat Joe Biden. I won by 20 points in Florida. Here's how I did it. And I unite factions. I can win over swing voters. But he's got to walk away. He's got to quit running on like anti-vax, whatever, because nobody believes it anymore. Nobody believes he's more electable because he seems so extreme. And they don't like the 6-week abortion position. And so he has to moderate himself, and he's got to go back and fight for the group of people who want to move on from Trump.
There's and so a whole when 30%. Should he get out? Again, for thinking about his future viability.
Well, it depends. It depends on how he places. I think if he got it together and he was back around, like Ron DeSantis has to get out if Ron DeSantis drops to 5 points. Like if he's in backfield with Nikki Haley and Mike Pence, then
what if he's at 8-9? What if he's at 9? What if he's between 9 and 11? What if his national number are between 9 and 11?
But see, he can live on that for a long time and fight back for second place. Like he'll eventually, maybe it doesn't happen because of just who he is, because his political talent is non-existent. But like if he's, as long as he's running in that second place, why would he get out?
Well, because other people are going to move on him and he's drifting downward, and leaving before you get thrown out by the voters is, I think, important. Well, maybe not. All right. We've done our diligence. We did 27 minutes on this, talking about real politics. Let's talk about Barbie. Hey again, it's JVL. The conversation goes on from there. If you want to hear the rest of the show, head on over to Bulwark Plus and subscribe. We'd love to have you.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Start managing your data, not your infrastructure. Unified, simple, secure. Welcome to Data Done Right. Only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.